This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm Pastor Brian de Villiers. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning as we continue our studies in the Word of God, studies in the book of Acts, chapters 1 to 3. Today we take up another subject, Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. And I read from Acts chapter 2, and it's quite a lengthy reading, but I want you to get perspective. That's why I want to read it to you this morning. From verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.' Men of Israel, hear this, these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. He being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, and having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For knowledge, I foresaw the Lord always before me. His face was at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh and will rest in hope, for you have not leave my soul in Hades. You will allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, your will to make the full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let's speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he both dead and buried and in his tomb with us to this day. Therefore, being prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit at his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not left in Hades, nor his flesh in corruption. This Jesus God raised up, of which we all witness. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the Holy Spirit of promise, he poured out this which you have seen and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies my footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Have you got it? Both Lord and Christ. And I want you to be very clear about what we have just read. It has been rightly said that Peter's pronouncement on the day of Pentecost was homiletically correct as well as doctrinally sound. His theme needed skillful development, and before getting to the heart of his subject, it was necessary for him to adjust to the excited minds of the people to whom he was giving the message. There's valuable help here for those who would preach the gospel. And to begin, notice that Peter's sermon resolved itself in three distinctive parts: the introduction, the development, and the application. We always need that. Introduction, development, application. Sometimes there's no application, and we always need application. Each of these parts carries the pronouns for its title. The introduction. This verse 16 tells us about it very, very clearly. And we read also, when we read here in verse 23, 23 is very clear in what it says. It says here in verse 23, "him being delivered by determined person." Him being delivered. The application, verse 36. What does it say in verse? "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified," crucify. Here then is a model gospel address. The book of Acts is the textbook on gospel preaching. 22 sermons or speeches are recorded, 9 by Peter, 9 by Paul, and 1 by Stephen, Philip, James, and Ananias. Take a look at Peter as he preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Notice the method he adopted, the message he proclaimed, and the miracle that he witnessed. Number one, the method he adopted. This is clear, down-to-earth instruction, yet for all who would preach the gospel, the good news that God gives to sinful men and women. And there are five important things to notice about Peter's preaching. Number one, it was short, straight to the point. His speech was vital, urgent, and no unnecessary words, and no enticing words. We need to be clear about this. When we read again in 1 Corinthians, that makes something very clear to us. 1 Corinthians, it tells us very, very clearly about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4. This is what he says, "And my speech, my preaching, were not persuasive words of human wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." You got that? Of the Spirit and of power. There was no pointless repetition. His sermon, as we have it recorded, consisted of 520 words. Notice also that it was directed to the mind, giving instruction to the heart, producing enthusiasm to the conscience, resulting in conviction to the will, leading to a decision. That's what we need to hear. We need to hear messages like that. You see, it is directed to the mind, giving instruction to the heart, producing enthusiasm to the conscience, resulting in conviction, and to the will, leading to a decision. It was simple, plain, and clear. All in the congregation could understand exactly what Peter was saying. For though he was proclaiming the great and glorious new message of the gospel, it was against the historical background with which his hearers would be familiar. It was a case of masses of the people hearing Peter gladly. They heard Peter gladly, for Peter spoke with great simplicity of speech. We've mentioned that already. He spoke not with persuasive words, but with the Holy Spirit's leading, the Holy Spirit's guiding. He also spoke clearly and loudly. We read this in verse 14, tells us about this. In verse 14, "For Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice." His voice was loud. His voice was clear. Number three, it was instructive. It was informative. Peter's preaching was not merely emotional evangelism. As a matter of fact, there's no such thing mentioned in the New Testament, though there is much of it about today. In the New Testament, the appeal of the gospel is always an appeal to the mind, the heart, the conscience, and the will. The great need today is for teaching evangelism. This is the truth because God commands it. Yeah, we read this again in Acts chapter 5, and I'm going to read there in verse 42. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. It says, "And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ." You got that? "And because of man's need of being taught the truth," they needed to hear the truth. We turn again to 1 Corinthians. And this is what 1 Corinthians tells us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we got there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have to hear the message plainly and clearly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us, it says here, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You see, people need to have the preaching of the gospel under the Holy Spirit to let the gospel shine into their hearts, as I've said already a number of times. And we need to have understanding in what we are saying to people, to give them understanding in the gospel. Number four, it was scriptural. Paul's injunction to Timothy was to preach the word. Preach the word. 2 Timothy 2, 4:2. Preach the word. And Peter certainly did that here. 200 words in his sermon are words quoted from the Old Testament. His sermon was full of the prophetic word. This is a convincing method of preaching to show that all fulfilled prophecy has been literally fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we read the old, it is fulfilled in the new gives us understanding, interprets the old. Notice also that Peter's preaching was in the right dispensational context and setting. Peter was familiar with God's program for the days in which we are living. He is not expecting the conversion of the world or the kingdom of God to come on earth now, but the calling out of the church to be the bride of Christ. The church was to be the bride of Christ, and we need to be clear about that. Number five, it was bold, fearless, without apology. This was a distinctive characteristic of New Testament preaching. It was done with holy boldness. And the result, of course, of the experience. You know what? They would go out under the Holy Spirit and there'd be witnesses. That's what it says. There'd be witnesses. It tells us very clearly they would be witnesses for him. They would speak under the Holy Spirit's leading. We read Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had where? They had been with Jesus. Verse 29. Now the Lord looked on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Isn't that wonderful? With all boldness we may speak your word. Number five, it was bold and fearless without apology. That's what it is. Secondly, the message that Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost. This is clearly stated as we read again from Acts chapter 2. We read this, Acts chapter 2, and it tells us very, very clearly from verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. We've got to get something right today. He's both Lord. You see, my friends, we can't make him Lord. He's already Lord. God has made him Lord overall. We get to get that clear. And Peter's message is clear about that. Clearly stated, Jesus is both Lord and he's Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. But you can't make him Lord. He's Lord already. He's Lord already. God has made him Lord. And Peter did not preach religion or religious system or even a creed, but he preached a living person, the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the work which he accomplished for guilty men and women on the cross of Calvary when Jesus died. The work was finished at Calvary. It's the finished work of the cross. He preached the mighty acts of God, what God had done in his Son for the salvation of men and women. We need to hear that today. He's Lord already. You can't make him Lord. He's Lord already. Number one, he preached his incarnation. We get this from verse 22. He preached his incarnation. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God by miracles, wonders, signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Oh, isn't that wonderful? He tells us something wonderful about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his birth. Jesus of Nazareth, a man. He was the God-man, for he was man who was approved of God, a phrase which indicates his deity. He was God plus he was man. 100% God, 100% man. Number two, he preached his crucifixion. We get this clear from verse 23. Him being delivered by determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, you have crucified and put to death. Because in the plan and the purposes of God, Jesus came to this world with a purpose. His mission was to seek and to save the lost. He would go to the cross. He would become our substitute. He would die in our place that we could have everlasting life. But here he tells us his incarnation, Jesus of Nazareth. And then he tells us he preached the crucifixion, that he paid the price. On Calvary's cross, in John 19, verse 30, he says, "It is finished. I finished the work, Lord, you've given me to do," which declares divine sovereignty of human's responsibility, which tells us that our Lord was born to die. His death was a purposeful death. His death, he died in our place on Calvary's cross. And we must never, ever forget that, my friends. He died in our place on the cross of Calvary for each and every one of us. We turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. This is what it says. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit." You got that? He was made alive by the Holy Spirit. He was put to death. He died on the cross. He paid the price for our sins, past, present, and future. But he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again. He preached the resurrection. Here we are. He preached the resurrection. When we read this in Acts chapter 2 again, and we read from the verses, from verse 33, he tells us it. Very clearly, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." He's been exalted. He's been raised from the dead. He's been seated at the right hand of God the Father. It tells us that he's a resurrected Jesus. Peter showed that this was predicted in the Old Testament scriptures. We see in verses 25 and to 28, it says this, 25, "For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before me, for he was at my right hand, and I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rejoice in hope." I will rejoice in hope. It tells us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, my friends, we need to understand, Peter is saying very clearly that this was always the great emphasis of the apostolic teaching and preaching. Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ who's been risen from the dead, and that Jesus Christ is now alive forevermore. We read this in Acts 17:18. "Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered, and some said, 'What does the babbler want to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection.'" There you've got it. He preached Jesus and the resurrection, that he was raised from the dead, and he's been seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's what Jesus Christ has done. He preached his ascension. This is implied. We go back to Acts here, and this is implied to us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. We read this, "Therefore God being exalted to the right hand of God, he ascended on high, and having received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit." You see, it implies he's been raised, he's been exalted, he's ascended from heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ. What happened in Acts chapter 1? We've read that before. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, we read, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" He's the one that ascended on high. The Lord Jesus Christ has ascended on high. We need to understand that very, very clearly. But the same Jesus will come again. Number 5, He preached the exaltation. He preached the exaltation. 33 and 36. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Verse 36, therefore let all house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You got that? He's made both Lord and Christ. What a triumphant conclusion to what was a great sermon. Thank God we proclaim a living and a glorious Savior. That's what we do, a living and a glorious Savior. Let's read the words of Hebrews 11:25. Therefore, he's also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for us, because it's at the right hand of God in heaven. He lives to make intercession for us. Isn't that wonderful this morning? And then thirdly, the miracle he witnessed. The miracle he witnessed. This is outlined to us in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. 37. And this is what it says to us, to 41. It says, and now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified, exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. It must have been wonderful. It must have been absolutely wonderful. As a result of Peter's preaching, many who heard him were cut to the heart. It tells us they were cut to their heart. And asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter at once gave the answer, repent of your sins. Repent, turn from it. Identify yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ by open commitment to him. Receive the forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what it tells us. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of this, about 3,000 souls were converted and declared their allegiance to the Lord Jesus by being baptized, by following on to know the Lord, and by entering into fellowship with his people. How did they enter? Verse 41. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized that day. About 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wondrous signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all had all things common, and they sold their possessions and goods, divided among them all as anyone had need. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. What a wonderful experience. The end of the sermon, 3,000 people coming to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. 3,000, their allegiance to Jesus Christ. I want to say to you this morning, in all our doing, it's to see that people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to tell people, we need to shine our light of Christ in us, the hope of glory, into their darkness, that they might come to see that they need the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ himself. Send forth the gospel, tell it out. Go, brothers, at the Master's call. Prepare his way, who comes to reign, the King of kings and Lord of all. My friends, I pray I've encouraged you this morning in these, what I've said about the sermon on the day of Pentecost. I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you closer to the Savior. If you don't know the Lord Jesus this morning, put your hand on the heart, your heart, and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I know that you're the divine Son of God. I know you died on the cross for all my sins, past, present, and future. I ask you to come in to my heart, my life. I receive you as my Savior from sin. I want to commit my life to you for the rest of my life, to love you and serve you and follow you, that others may come to know you as well. Holy Spirit, seal this prayer in my heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer, let us know about it. Phone 021-180-5744, 021-180-5744, Radio Cape Pulpit. Or you can contact me, Pastor Brian, from Mondays to Thursdays between 9 and 12, 021-552-4096, 021-552-4096. God love you and have the most wonderful day you've ever had in your life today, and keep Jesus at the center of it all. I thank you.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.